We've been grounded by our background, grounded by our upbringing, grounded by our circumstances.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about why we miss out on the blessings that could make our lives take off and fly.
You can get so used to being a caterpillar so long that you don't even think that you could ever be a butterfly. But a butterfly is your birthright.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Blessings come from God, but not just from God. Today, Dr. Evans will touch on the importance of the blessings we pass on and what to do if they were never passed on to us. Let's join him.
Every responsible head of a household here has a will. In that will, you will control what happens to your resources for the future. You'll say who gets the house or the car or the different accounts. Your death through the will become a provision for other things going to loved ones. God has a will. It's called a covenant. It was God's way of sending forth the future. That's why that word is so dominant in Scripture. This word, the covenant, the covenant, the covenant. It was God creating something to pay forward his promises to his people in the future. These promises came to be known as blessings. The word blessings in the Bible referred to what God was going to provide for his people so that they could fulfill his purposes in history. That was the blessing. In Old Testament theology, people live for the blessing. To not have the blessing was to not have life itself. To not have something passed on to you from God. It became apparent to me that the large part of our men who were sitting in church every week had never been blessed. And it's hard to pass on what you've never had. It's hard to pass on a blessing to your children if you don't know what one is and you don't know how to transfer it. How important was this thing called the blessing? So important that in Genesis 27, Esau was begging for it. He says at the end of verse 35, "Bless me, even me, O my father." In verse 36, the last line, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Verse 38, "Bless me, even me, oh, my father." So Esau lifted up his voice and he wept. To not be blessed would make a grown man cry. What was this blessing? In summary, it was experiencing and enjoying and extending the covenantal promises of God for your life. It was experiencing, enjoying, and extending, passing on the promises of God for your life. The blessing was when God was operating for them. The curse was when God was operating against them. It was an umbrella that no matter what rain showers were around them, they were undercover. Look at chapter 25. I want you to understand the blessing. Verse 31. But Jacob said, verse 30, Esau said to Jacob, "Please let me have a swallow of that red stuff, for I am famished." Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." Now, that's a lot to ask for a bowl of stew. He said, "Let me sell me your birthright, and I'll give you some stew." Esau said, "I'm about to die, so what use then is my birthright to me? I ain't getting ready to die, I'm so hungry." And Jacob said, "First swear to me." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and a lentil of stew, and he ate and drank and rose up and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. What was your birthright? The oldest son got a double inheritance of everything that the father left behind. He got a double inheritance. Jacob says, sell me your position and I'll give you something to eat. The Bible says Esau thought so little of his birthright that he was willing to sell it for some stew. But what Esau forgot is that when you give up your birthright, you give up your blessings. See, to say I don't want the will is to say I don't want the stuff in the will, and the blessings are in the will. The blessings had to do with what the father was passing forward. What was in this blessing? Here it is, verse 28 and 29. Now may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers and may your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you and blessed be those who bless you. Let me tell you what's in the blessing. It's in every blessing, and it is what we're going to leave everybody who needs a blessing out here to who needs a blessing today. This is what you're going to leave with. You will leave with a special future. A blessing meant a special God designed, custom designed future. He says to Jacob, who he thinks is Isaac, because Jacob has tricked him. He says to Jacob, let me tell you about your future. Because a blessing talked about the future. Yeah, there was stuff in the present, but the blessing was the future. He says, look, three things, Jacob. He thinks he's talking to Esau because he's been tricked, but he says three things. The first thing is divine provision. He says in verse 28, the dew from the heaven will fall, and of the fatness of the earth, an abundance of grain and new wine. In other words, heaven is going to rain down what you need to get the promises of God fulfilled. I don't care how hard you work the earth. If there is no rain from heaven, nothing's going to grow. Some of us are working hard to make something of our lives. We're working hard to give ourselves the future. We're making hard to get something done in our lives. We wonder why nothing is growing. If there is no rain from heaven, it doesn't matter how hard you work on earth, nothing is going to grow. If heaven doesn't visit earth, there are no vegetables. If heaven doesn't visit earth, there is no grain. If heaven doesn't visit earth, there is no fruit. There is no grass for the livestock to eat so that the cows can give milk. If heaven does not visit earth, earth can't show up with anything. A lot of us wonder why everything on earth is not working out, because we've not yet gotten a visit from heaven, which is in the will. God told him, he says, now, I want you to leave Egypt, and I want you to go to the promised land. He says, now, when you get to the promised land, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find a land flowing with milk and honey. That means highly productive. You're going to find, when you get to your future, you're going to find I've already gone ahead of you to your future. There are some sinners in there, but while the sinners are occupying the territory, I'm going to tell them to dig some wells. While the sinners are occupying the territory, I'm going to tell them to plow the fields. While the sinners are occupying the territory, I'm going to tell them to plant some grapes. So that when you arrive, stuff has already been taken care of. Heaven will have already visited earth, and earth will have been produced, so that you're going to arrive to stuff that you didn't know existed. And when you get there, it's going to be more than you expected. Second, spiritual authority. He says in verse 29, the people will serve you. The nations will bow down to you. You will be master. He says you're going to have authority. Remember in the beginning of our spiritual authority series, we said everybody's been given a garden. Like Adam, a place over which you are to rule. using your gifts, your talents, your skills, and the opportunities that God brings you. Everybody here has a garden. There's no Christian here that has not been given a garden, a place where God wants to root you in order to service his kingdom and to service you for good and to be a blessing to others. Everybody in here has a garden, a place over which you function as master, a place where you call the shots. And he says, and I'm going to make sure when I take you to where I'm taking you, that you are running your garden. One of the greatest things in the world is to know that there is a place for you, that you are not a mistake. You're not an evolutionary mishap. There is a place for you. God didn't just leave you here to wander and to just go around bouncing around like a pinball machine. There is a place for you to master. There is an area where he wants you to control. He has given you gifts, skills, and time, and he wants you to use that for the mastering purposes for which he's given it. That is a secure place. It is a secure place to know that God has a place for me. So for you to get me out of my place, you have to overrule God. That is a secure place to be. That you have to slap God to get me. Because he says, in the place I'm putting you, you will master that place. And that's the bad thing about folk getting in places that they're not theirs. Because now you don't have any, you're not under the umbrella, see? Because God is only going to give you the umbrella in the places he's provided you. Not only that, he says, and I will curse those who curse you, and I will bless those who bless you. That's divine protection under the umbrella. I'm a curse though. If they come after you, they just came after me. And if they for you, they for me. Look, you know how long they've been trying to get rid of Israel? They've been trying to knock Israel into the Mediterranean. Israel is a little tiny country surrounded by millions and millions and millions of people who can't stand them. They have tried to get rid of Israel, and every time they try, they fail. How can this little teeny country surrounded by all these other nations who hate their guts still survive when they got that much hatred surrounded on all sides? Because God said, I'm going to curse those who curse you, and I'm going to bless those who bless you. Because they're under the umbrella. And even though they're in disobedience right now through the rejection of Christ, he still made a promise regarding the land. And he said, and I have you under my umbrella. And while they may make you shake a little bit, they are never going to be able to destroy you, because my covenant, you in my will. Isn't that a free position? To know that when somebody comes after you, they're coming after God. Isn't that what David said when he met Goliath? He said, you just came after God. The battle is the Lord's. God, he talking about you.
Dr. Evans will be back with more of our message in just a moment, including a look at why so many of us are still begging for our blessings, when he continues this message from his brand new CD collection, The Best of Tony Evans 2018. It contains 20 of his most hard-hitting, life-changing lessons of the past year, including messages on how to overcome anxiety, trust God through hard times, stop standing in the way of our own spiritual development, and fill up that emptiness we often sense inside us. It makes the kind of Christmas gift that can literally change a life. And we're offering it right now as our gift to anyone who can come alongside Tony's ministry with a contribution of any size. Reaching more and more people for Christ through radio and TV is our goal, but it's one we can only reach with your faithful, consistent support. So please visit TonyEvans.org while the special offer is still available. Make your donation, and you'll receive all 20 lessons in The Best of Tony Evans 2018. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat our contact information later on. Right now, let's jump back into our study. Here's Dr. Evans.
We've got a generation of people with nothing to look forward to. They have no sense of destiny. They have no sense of future because they haven't been given it. But we can't expect them to have been given it because nobody gave it to their mama and daddy. There are a bunch of adults here who still looking for your blessing. You still looking for somebody to tell you you mean something, for somebody to tell you you're significant, for somebody to tell you you have a future, for somebody to tell you you're not a chance happening, but you've been positioned and put together by Almighty God for some special meaning, some special purpose. And you're not a nobody. You're not a nothing. You are a king of God. You are a queen. You are a prince or a princess. You know a generation haven't been blessed when they walk around with pants around their ankles. We got a generation of girls dressing like hoochie mamas. But when you look at their mamas dressing like hoochie mamas, then you understand that all they are reflecting the emptiness. What they're doing is saying, somebody look at me. Somebody pay attention to me. Somebody say something to me that makes me feel significant and special. Somebody's, even if you have to use me up, all they're saying is, can somebody bless me? Can somebody bless me? Somebody let me know that there is something special out there, that is special, that I mean something, that there is substance and significance. Jacob says, oh, for a blessing. He's 40 years old and he's begging for a blessing. Esau has money. It says Esau had servants. What he doesn't have is a blessing. He has nothing to look forward to. Nothing. No future. And when you don't have a future, all you get to do is exist. There are a generation of boys who need to know you don't have to be a thug to be somebody. You don't have to be a pimp to be significant. A generation of girls who can say, if you're not going to treat me like a princess and talk to me like a queen, then we don't have anything to conversate about. Because that's who I am. I got blessed by my mama, by my daddy, by my church. And when they blessed me, they told me I was a princess, a queen in waiting. Therefore, if you're going to treat me less than I know I am, you're not worthy of my time and attention. And I'm going to be okay till I get somebody man enough to be a prince or a king. People going around looking for somebody hard. Just looking for somebody hard. Oh, no, 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 no. He said, no. I'm going to bless you, my son. You have a special future. You are an extension of the covenant, and you have a tomorrow. Let me give you a verse. Can I give you a verse? Deuteronomy 23 verse 5. Let me tell you what Deuteronomy 23 verse 5 says. Deuteronomy 23 verse 5 says, God says this, watch this now, it's good news. I will turn your cursing into a blessing. He says, I will turn your cursing into a blessing. And then he throws in a line here. He says, because I love you. Because I love you. Because I love you, I'm going to turn this thing around. I'm going to turn what these years of cursings have been, and I'm going to turn that thing. If you will come under the umbrella, I can't change my umbrella, but if you'll come under my umbrella, I'm going to turn what all those years, the years that the locusts have taken away. The years that have been ripped off from you, where you were used and abused and messed over and forgotten, and even where you have sinned and walked away from me, if you come back under my covenant, under my umbrella, I will turn the curse. Yeah, I got some good news for you today. If you're here and you've never been blessed, you've been under a curse. Your mama cursed you, your daddy cursed you, and you went out there and cursed yourself. He says, I can turn that thing around and I can turn a cursing into a blessing. Why? Because you and I have a birthright in the new covenant. In fact, let me tell you how sweet this birthright is. The Bible says in the book of Galatians that you and I are sons and daughters of Abraham. Wait a minute now. I don't know if you caught that. Galatians says, you and I are sons and daughters of Abraham. Well, let's go back to the Old Testament. God said, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great and mighty nation. I want you to pass this on to Isaac. Isaac, God told me that I'm a great and mighty nation. You come out of me. Guess who you are, boy? You a great and mighty nation. Isaac, tell Jacob. Jacob, God told my daddy, your granddaddy, he was a great and mighty nation. I'm a great and mighty nation because I came out of him. You came out of me. You a great and mighty nation. Jacob has 12 sons. 12 sons, y'all are messed up. Sometimes y'all jacked up. But I want you to know something. God told your great-granddaddy Abraham, he's a great mighty nation. He told my dad Isaac that he was a great mighty nation. Isaac told me, I'm a great mighty nation. You 12 boys are going to be great and mighty nations. Those 12 boys became the 12 tribes of the son of Israel and established Israel. God then skipped over the covenant of Moses and re-picked up with Jesus Christ the covenant of Abraham. So that in the book of Galatians, he wants Christians to say, way back in the Old Testament, God told Abraham, you a great mighty nation, you special, you're going to be somebody. Abraham told Isaac, Isaac told Jacob, Jacob told his 12 sons, through Judah came Jesus Christ, who was a great mighty nation. You now have the birthright of Jesus Christ pulsating through your vein, which ties you back to Abraham. God has a blessing for you. He has a glorious future for you. You say, but things look so bad. Things look so terrible, I can't see the future. That's why the prayer of Jabez from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, Jabez said, Lord, bless me indeed. He didn't say bless me. He said bless me indeed. In other words, I was put here for more than this. Bless me indeed. And then expand my territory. He says, give me room to handle all the indeed stuff you're going to send my way. I don't want to lose out on anything you have for me. Somebody here want to be blessed. Somebody here wants to see their tomorrows be better than your yesterday. Somebody here believes Jeremiah 29:11. I have a plan for you, saith the Lord. A plan for your well-being and not for your calamity. To give you a future and to give you a hope. I'm not talking about a car. I'm not talking about a house. I'm not talking about a bank account. That's the fruit. I'm talking about a future, a destiny, significance, meaning, purpose, power. You are somebody.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about the blessing that grows out of our connection with Christ. And if you've never made that connection, visit TonyEvans.org today. Click on the menu at the top and follow the link that says Jesus. There, Tony will explain everything you need to know about what it means to be a real Christian and how to start a brand new life. Also, be sure to request a copy of today's message, Begging for a Blessing. It's just a part of our powerful new CD compilation, The Best of Tony Evans 2018. Don't forget, we're offering it as our thank you gift when you help support our work with a contribution of any amount. Here's Dr. Evans with a word about why your gifts are so vital.
It has occurred to me that many of our listeners are not aware of how our ministry operates and what it takes for it to work. Our largest single expense at the Urban Alternative is purchasing airtime in order to get God's word into the hearts and into the minds of our listeners. Yet only approximately 6% of our listenership supports our ministry. So you can see the challenge that that gives us in trying to get out the word. If you are benefiting from this ministry, would you benefit this ministry so it can continue to benefit you? Thank you for your consideration, your kindness, and your support. God bless you.
And again, as our way of saying thanks for whatever donation God leads you to make, you'll get all 20 full-length messages in our brand-new collection, The Best of Tony Evans 2018. Get details before time runs out at TonyEvans.org, where you can also browse through our collection of great life-changing gifts for the people you care about, and find out how you can read through the Bible with Tony on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So make it a point to visit TonyEvans.org today or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. We often try to blame Satan when we find ourselves facing difficult days. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will talk about another explanation and tell us why a crisis may be the best thing that ever happened. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.